Welcome to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Catskill region. Margaville Hospital is taking advantage of its affiliation with Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley, a network of healthcare services that are that is part of WMC Health. That's the health system for Westchester Medical Center, Health Alliance, and now Margaville Hospital. And it does this by tapping specialists in Kingston to come to Margaville to provide outpatient specialty services. Well, one of these specialists who I saw a couple months ago, I've seen her now twice, is Ellie Wagner, a women's health physician assistant. And I'm delighted to welcome Ellie Wagner to her to Health Center in the Catskills. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And just for transparency purposes, I am on the board of Margaville Hospital. And again, I've seen her for care. I was so impressed. I want the community to know about Ellie Wagner. So, Ellie, let's start with you're a physician assistant, or now in some states, they're referring to physician associates. Tell people what a physician assistant or physician associate is.
Yeah, so a physician assistant is a licensed medical professional that can essentially perform exams, procedures, diagnose, and treat patients with both direct and indirect supervision of a physician. So I work under Dr. Keplinger, who is down at our Kingston office.
And how did you become a PA? We're going to abbreviate a PA as we abbreviate registered nurse as RN and nurse practitioners as NPs. We'll call you a PA.
So after I completed my bachelor's degree in exercise science, I got my master's degree in physician studies at SUNY Upstate, which is located in Syracuse, New York. And then I became board certified through the NCCPA, which is like our national PA body, governing body, I guess.
And your specialty is women's health. How did you become a women's health specialist, and what does that entail? What women's health?
So I actually started right out of college as a certified medical assistant, and it was just so amazing, you know, having this care for basically half the population that I just fell in love with it. And all through PA school, I was like, I really want to become OBGYN physician assistant. And, you know, that's essentially what happened. What it would entail is diagnosis, treatment, and screening that can basically impact, like, females' physical, emotional, and mental health. And that would go into maternal, prenatal health care, reproductive health, hormone transitions, obviously cancer screenings, and then mental wellness is what I would cover.
Now, to be clear, you do not deliver babies. Is that correct?
Yes. We have our physician and then a midwife over at Health Alliance Hospital that take care of all the obstetrical care. Unfortunately, that is out of my scope at the moment.
So if I'm pregnant, I don't see you. I would see another member of the team on Women's Health.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So I want to talk about some of the common conditions that you see that might be of interest to people who are listening in our audience.
Yeah, so some conditions that I focus on in our office are PMOS, or more commonly known as PCOS, since the name has changed of that, which stands for polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome. Also, patients who are struggling with perimenopausal symptoms, whether that be unexplained weight gain, brain fog, hot flashes, night sweats, as well as postmenopausal symptoms as well, which can be the perimenopausal symptoms as well as atrophy, which is like the breakdown of vaginal tissue causing a lot of irritation. I also see a lot of younger patients who are struggling with issues associated with their period, whether that's a painful period, a heavy period, pelvic pain, endometriosis, vaginal infections, and then external genitalia or vulvar.
Now, we, you know, for many people, they think of women's health and GYN in general. I'm interested in your take on the difference between women's health and GYN care. Is there a difference? Let's start there.
That's a hard question. I would say because women is a gender, obviously, and not everyone that we see identifies as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably prefer to say, you know, gynecological care.
Okay.
Only for that purpose, just to not like offend anyone and to provide everyone with the treatment that they deserve and proper counseling, if that makes sense.
Yep, it does. So when we think about GYN care or framing it as women's health, a lot of people think, well, that's for when I'm in my childbearing years. But as you just said, you see older women, you see, young women who are just entering their childbearing years. This whole idea of older women, many older women feel like, well, I'm done with menstruation. I'm done with having kids. I may be even through menopause at this point, although that's a major issue and concern. But tell us about the importance of GYN care to older women.
Yeah, so besides very important screening protocols, which we would follow up to, I mean, until practically you die, basically, some conditions that I see in our office for, you know, women outside of those childbearing years, which are very important, could range anything from, like I had said before, like the breakdown of vaginal tissue, which causes a lot of irritation and discomfort. Hormone replacement therapy for those who are in perimenopause and the beginning part being postmenopausal, which for anyone wondering is just postmenopause at that point where you basically stop having a period and you confirm it after 12 months without any bleeding. We also see patients for urinary issues, which is a big one, to like pelvic floor dysfunction and muscle issues. So incontinence, which is just like the leaking of urine that, you know, you didn't plan for, urgency and frequency that may not be related to a UTI, for instance.
That's a urinary tract infection, UTI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, some other really important issues, postmenopausal bleeding is a big one. We definitely want to see if that were to ever occur. And then also pelvic pain, fibroids. We always want to make sure, you know, our patients aren't struggling with any issues abdominally that, you know, you can't see. So, you know, ultrasounds to make sure you're not having anything on your uterus or your ovaries. That's a big one, too. Especially for our postmenopausal women.
So, you know, the words no woman likes to hear is scoot on down. When you're on that exam table and you're getting ready for the pelvic exam, and the clinician almost always has to say, scoot on down. Mm-hmm. The pelvic exam can be something that a lot of women don't look forward to at all. I think it's sort of like the men and the prostate exam. And this is, I think, particularly so for two groups of people. One is for adolescents and their first exam, pelvic exam, and the other is for anybody who has experienced rape. Can you talk a little bit about, and it was one of the things that I was so impressed about with you, was your sensitivity to that the exam is not always something that a woman would look forward to. Can you talk a little bit about the sensitivity around that exam and how you approach that?
It's a scary thing because you're in that vulnerable position that, you know, not a lot of people in your life get to witness. So, and then you're in this office with a couple random people that you've never actually met before. So I completely understand how it can be a really uncomfortable exam. For our younger patients who are in their teenagers and younger 20s, it's always important to talk them through the procedure before, you know, you actually do it, so they can expect, you know, what's going to happen. I'd also like to point out that, you know, if you don't want an exam, I don't have to touch you. It's completely voluntary, and no one is forcing you to do any sort of exam. For our teenage girls, I usually wouldn't want to do one unless you're having an issue, like vaginally, or if you want STD screening. STD or STI screening, so sexually transmitted infections and diseases. Or we usually start doing them at age 21 for cervical cancer screening. So, like I said, all voluntary. For patients who, you know, have that history of sexual assault or trauma, we always need to be really careful about what we say, because anything can, you know, upset them, and it doesn't even have to be something you say. It could be something that they feel, do. So it's really important to be, you know, empathetic towards that exam. For some patients, they, you know, just want you to go slow, and some patients are like, just get it over quickly. So it really goes by a case-by-case thing, but I think the most important thing is just to have that, you know, empathy and really take your time with them and understanding, you know, why they're feeling this way about this exam.
Yeah, and to, so I have a very high standard for clinicians that I see, and you met the standards, and the one thing that really impressed me was how, with each step of this exam, you told me what you were going to do, and here I am. I've had pelvic exams in the past, but you didn't assume that this would be okay for me to have this exam, and you wanted to make sure that I knew what was coming next, and I think that's, to me, was one of the signs that you're somebody that I would certainly go to and did go to again, and appreciated in you. I also want to ask you about one of the common, you've talked about two conditions with older women that I'd like to have you say a little bit more about. One is urinary incontinence is one, and we'll start with that one, and then the other one is urinary tract infections. But urinary incontinence is something that, you know, I'm hearing from some of my older friends that they're wearing diapers or pads because they leak all the time. And I say to them, well, have you tried Kegel exercises? And invariably they say, oh, yeah, I tried that. It didn't really work. And I'm not sure how often these exercises can help. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what those are and whether this is something that should help urinary tract infections. Not urinary tract infections, incontinence.
Incontinence is basically involuntary leaking of urine from your urethra. It can be due to a lot of different causes, but we primarily see that occurring in our postmenopausal population. One, because of the less strain on the pelvic floor muscles, so, you know, they're not as tight as they used to be, obviously. And then two, because of, like, other reasons as well, whether that be history of childbirth or overactive bladder. So it is a very common issue. And it can result for some patients in symptoms such as, obviously, like a UTI. And a lot of times it results in, like, emotional discomfort because they feel like they can't go out because they feel like they're going to pee, which can be very traumatizing, in my opinion. We want you to enjoy your life. Some of the things we do are obviously with the exercises, but a lot of times that has to do with, you know, changing your lifestyle. So, you know, pelvic floor therapy is a big one.
I'm sorry, what was that again? You're a little bit muffled. What was that again?
I'm sorry. So pelvic floor physical therapy is a good one because you're going to the a specialist that can help you out in learning these exercises and it, rather than just doing Kegel exercises on your own, because I don't think that's going to fully take care of the issue. But they can definitely show you the proper exercises because it's more than just Kegel exercises. It's, you know, the muscles around your hips, your back, your core, that all comes into your pelvic floor, basically. And then also incontinence, unfortunately, can lead to urinary tract infections, which, you know, goes into the next thing.
Yes.
The atrophy of the vagina, that was what you wanted to talk about next?
Yeah, frequent UTIs and the fact that, you know, when you're an older person and you're taking antibiotics all the time for urinary tract infections, you have to be worried about developing resistance to those antibiotics, and then what?
Yeah, so in order for us to mitigate increased urinary tract infections for our postmenopausal patients, it's due to the low estrogen that is bound to happen for all of our postmenopausal patients, which causes thinning of the vaginal and urethral tissue, which makes it easier for bacteria to colonize in that area. Mm-hmm. Usually, we start with lifestyle modifications. So, obviously, which I'm sure everyone has heard before, good hygiene, you know, wiping front to back, voiding after intercourse. Voiding is, you know, peeing, and then washing your hands regularly, staying hydrated, increasing your water intake, and then just trying to reduce other lifestyle or comorbidities such as diabetes, because that can increase UTIs as well. But then there's also medical management, such as topical estrogen. So we're providing those estrogen-thriving tissues with, you know, a topical dose of that to allow it to regenerate in a way and prevent those UTIs. For some patients, they want to avoid all hormones, which is totally okay. We can do, like, vaginal emollients, and by that I mean, like, Aquaphor or organic coconut oil are good ones. But then some patients do, like, prophylactic antibiotics, which obviously, you know, we want to avoid unnecessary antibiotic use. And then other times we just use, like, supplements, such as cranberry, or over-the-counter methamphetamine as well. So
it may be a combination of different techniques to use, different approaches to use to reduce UTIs for older people.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, you know, one or the other works better.
Yeah. So, as you know, primary care, you're considered part of primary care, even though I called you as a specialist. But primary care really does focus on prevention and health promotion. And I'm interested in you sort of sharing with our listeners, both young and old, what would you like to see young and old people do to protect their health from that GYN women's health perspective?
The most important thing that we bring up at every appointment almost is routine breast cancer and cervical cancer screening. We start breast cancer screening at age 40 and then cervical cancer screening at age 21. Also bone density screening, which is usually done around age 65, but that changes case by case depending on other medical issues. And then for our younger patients, the Gardasil vaccine, which is our HPV vaccine that helps to reduce cervical cancer. And then also STD screening, because we want to prevent transmission of sexually transmitted infections, especially in our area. So those are the most important things I would say in terms of, you know, prevention and promoting our patient's health.
So the HPV vaccine that prevents cervical cancer, how often do you come across someone who's had that vaccine but still shows up with cervical cancer? My understanding was that HPV vaccine really does wipe out cervical cancer, but I don't know how rate that wipeout is, how high the rate is of that wipeout.
Yeah. I don't know the exact statistics because we stopped giving the HPV vaccine after age 45. But most of the time we are seeing cervical cancer in our older age groups, you know, 50s, 60s, because they've had persistent HPV. And persistent HPV, meaning HPV over many, many years, that is what causes cervical cancer.
And tell people what HPV stands for. I'm sorry.
Oh, HPV, sorry. HPV stands for human papillomavirus.
Yes. And I'm sorry, were you going to say something else, Ellie?
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
So, no, you're fine.
So, you come up to Margaville Hospital how often?
I come up on the second Monday every single month. So my next time in Margaretville is, but I think we're booked up for that, August 10th. But after that, I will be up there on September 14th. And I think we're open to schedule appointments those days. I have the number at our Margaretville office. If anyone is listening, it is 845-586-3888.
Say that again.
Margaretville office phone number is 845-586-3888.
And I, when you call that number, you actually get a central, when you go to schedule an appointment, it's a central scheduling approach now. You're actually not getting the local people to schedule. It's a central office that WMC Health maintains. And so what you would want to do was say that you're looking for a women's health visit with Ellie Wagner. Ellie being E-L-L-Y, right, Ellie?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. And how booked up are you?
I think it's really funny. I actually broke my hand, so it's fine. I think I have availability coming up in early September.
Early September. Wow. Oh, I hope the handbrake isn't bad.
No, we are recovering just as fine.
Well, I want to say that you're fabulous, and I want to encourage people who, if a young adolescent who may need GYN care or at least that initial visit, you heard Ellie say that she doesn't routinely do the pelvic exam on a visit with an adolescent unless there's a reason to do that. But also in terms of all ages of women, including older women, I want to encourage those women out there and people out there who are older who need some kind of a checkup, GYN checkup, to consider making an appointment with Ellie Wagner. Ellie, thank you so much. I'm delighted to have you coming to our area.
Thank you, Diana, for having me. Lovely speaking to you again.
It's Ellie Wagner. That's Ellie Wagner, a women's health physician assistant who is now at Margaretville Hospital once a month. I'm hoping maybe we'll get you too busy and you'll come up a couple times a month. But again, the number for the appointment is 845-586-3888. 845-586-3888. And ask for an appointment with Ellie Wagner. Thank you so much, Ellie. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.